All right, we're going to go ahead and continue with our post-race media availabilities. We've now been joined by our race-winning team. We're joined here by Justin Marks, who's the owner of Trackhouse Racing, and the race-winning crew chief, Stephen Doran. We will go ahead and take questions. If you have questions for Justin or Stephen, go ahead and raise your hand. We're going to work to get a microphone to you. And who would like to kick us off? All right, we'll start up front with Jordan.
Jordan Bianca, The Athletic. I guess this is for either one of you. What makes Shane so good here, particularly? From the outsider's perspective, it looks like it's a lot of patience, and he knows when to pick and choose his spots, and he's kind of content to just save his tires at times if he needs to. But from your perspective, you guys know best. What is it that he does so well here that is the difference?
Well, I mean, for me, in my experience driving race cars for 20 years, it's racing IQ. It's how strategic he can think while he's on the limit of the race car. You know, a lot of drivers, you know, it takes all of your mental bandwidth to drive the car fast. And Shane's one of these guys that can drive the car at the limit, but be thinking bigger picture stuff. So he knows where he is in the race. And you know, he knows how to, I mean, he's great at managing his tires, his equipment, all that kind of stuff. Plus, you know, I think for his talent profile specifically, street races are just, they come very, very naturally to him. He's got a lot of experience doing it in the V8 Supercar Series. But I think really in races like this, where everybody is working so hard just to get the apexes and get out of the corner the right way and all that, he does that just naturally while he's thinking about bigger picture stuff, so he can really put the whole race together in a super impressive way.
Yeah, just to add to what Justin said, like, you watch him and he's like a machine out there. He makes no mistakes, and he just waits till somebody misses an apex in front of him and he pounces on him, and he just drives through the field. You saw it yesterday and today. His laps are so consistent, and that's part of why he saves his tires so well.
He is coming in here now, you know, he's a road course guy, and the emphasis for you guys, has it been the road courses? Like, that is how we're going to punch our playoff ticket. We need to maximize our opportunities on that, and you know, the ovals are the ovals, but it's about road courses at the end of the day.
Well, I think it's a unique project with Shane, and you know, I wouldn't do this, or we wouldn't be doing this, if we thought, okay, we can go win road courses and then we just know we're not going to run that good on the ovals because he's never done it before. You, at this level of the game, you have to be a complete package, and for his level of intelligence and how he studies and how he adapts and how he learns, there's a real opportunity here for him to figure the ovals out and get fast at the ovals and be a complete cup driver. I think we've seen him coming that way just in the last month and a half. I mean, he's pretty consistently top 20 now on the ovals when he started, you know, running kind of like 32nd. And I think that development is just going to continue. So, you know, what I think when you think about the project, it's like, okay, we've got somebody who's talented and that we can make a cup driver out of. And while he learns in the meantime, we can win a ton of road courses and punch that ticket to the playoffs and give our sponsors a ton of return for their investment.
But last question. There's been a news this week, obviously, with the team, Suarez not returning next year. Your comment on that, and then why make this change, and why has he not had the results that the other teammates have had?
Yeah, I mean, as far as results, I don't know. I mean, you know, look, Daniel's been a huge part of this company for 4.5 years now. And, you know, when we sat down and looked at our kind of mapped out our 3-year and our 5-year plan and sort of the sponsorships and kind of like everything that we're trying to accomplish over the next really like 5 years of the company, you know, we just got to a point where, you know, we felt like that relationship had bared a lot of fruit for us. But it just was, you know, was time to move on. So, you know, I don't as we grow and as the team grows, obviously we have to identify different opportunities. Look, Daniel has been a huge part of this company and a great friend of mine. You know, we met last night, me and him, in the hotel for an hour down in the lobby, and we talked about our time together, everything that we've accomplished together, and him and I are in a really, you know, really good place. It's just, this isn't a sport where, you know, you do the same thing forever. And as we grow, you know, we just felt like, you know, it was time to, you know, wrap up that relationship and, you know, work to try to help him to find the next opportunity, but continue to grow as a company, what we're trying to accomplish.
All right, we'll continue with questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. We're going to go here to the far right to Noah and then up front to Bob.
Noah Poser, Kicking the Tires. This is for Justin. So it was a weekend sweep for Shane, a runner-up for Connor in the Xfinity race, and another top 10 today for Ross. Obviously, Daniel had a premature end to the race today, but what is your overall assessment of the weekend for your organization?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was good. I think everybody had speed. I mean, we didn't, you know, I think Ross did a good job. When Ross first came here a few years ago, he was just lost. He was completely lost, and he's worked hard on understanding what it takes to be successful here at Chicago, and they had some really good speed. I think he ran top 10, sort of top 15 all day. Obviously, Shane does his thing, and then we just didn't really get an opportunity to see what Daniel had. I mean, he had a great start, passed some cars in the beginning, but then got tore up, and we just didn't get an opportunity to see it. So I think, you know, we focus hard on every race, but this is one where, you know, we've got a race car driver and a race team inside of the building that is so elite at this place, that, you know, we try to learn from it and try to, you know, replicate it, whether it's on the engineering or the car side or on the driver side. So from an effort, I'm always giving my team an A, and you know, I think that I think the one, like I said, the one had a good day, and I really wish that the 99 would have been able to complete their day, because I think we could have put together, you know, I think we could have put all three cars in the top 10.
All right, we'll come up front to Bob.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. For both, did you, when the 51 was buried in the barrier there, were you expecting a caution? And if so, would you have been worried about another restart?
I really wasn't too worried. I saw where we were on the track. I knew there was weather coming, but was very glad to see we crossed the line before it came out.
All right, additional questions? Okay, we're gonna go here and then up front to Kelly. Go ahead.
Brian Twining, Best Words Media Group. Shortly there before the end of, over here. Shortly there before the end of stage one, you guys had originally planned to stay out. Was that kind of code talk, or was it a legit, like, last second pivot to bring Shane down pit road?
I wouldn't say it was code. But I did see how many pit the lap before. Didn't want to get buried behind them. So kind of a last minute call, but we knew that was in the cards if a bunch of them came.
All right, Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Steven, you know SVG is going to do his job behind the wheel. How much pressure do you feel preparing these cars for road and street courses to just give him something in the ballpark so he can go out and do what he needs to do?
Yeah, I don't know that I feel pressure. It's excitement knowing that if our team does our job, we have a good shot at it. And that's what I preach to our guys before the race. Like, just execute, smooth on pit stops, nothing fancy. Just get your job done and let him go back out there and do his thing. And our guys have been great, Mexico and here, just executing all day. Strategy was good. Just two solid, solid days.
I was going to say that I was going to go find Steven before the race, and I ran out of time and couldn't find him. But it's like, in these positions, when you've got a guy like Shane, you don't have to push or get cute or try or anything like that. It's just about doing your job well, whether it's pit crew or Steven running the strategy or whatever. It's like, just not putting yourself in a position to make mistakes and pushing too hard. It's just like, do the job and do it well, and then just let the driver go do his thing.
All right, we'll go front to Jeff, please, and then back to Bob. Jeff right here. There you go.
Justin, what do you think that Shane has to do in the coming years, I guess, to be considered the best NASCAR road racer ever? It's, you know, he obviously has the talent to do it. It's still early, so I don't know if it's there, if that title's there yet. But, like, what else do you think he has to accomplish to prove that to everybody?
Well, I think it's just keep winning. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's just keep you know, going to these races like today where you just execute a complete race and don't make mistakes and win. I mean, I think it's super, super simple. I'm, you know, like, I don't want to jump the gun, but I mean, he's the best road course stock car racer that I've ever seen. I think when he's done with us all and walks away from the sport, I think he's going to walk away as the best road course racer that this sport has ever seen. And I think it's just, like I said earlier, it's like you put him in these situations that he's got to learn quickly and adapt quickly, and he does it. I mean, like, Mexico was ridiculous. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And, you know, everybody, it was an equalizer. Nobody had ever been there before. Everybody had to figure it out. And the guy wins by 18 seconds. And so, yeah, I don't think it's more complicated than just going to racetracks and consistently and reliably just beating everybody.
All right, microphone to Bob, please. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. Justin, regardless of whether you have SVG or not, like, there's some questions whether Mexico returns, a lot of doubts on whether this race returns. Do you have opinions on either?
Well, I mean, Mexico in particular, I think it's a great thing that this sport is going to other countries, because what we have here is such a unique form of racing. There's open wheel racing all around the world. There's sports car racing all around the world. But the NASCAR Cup Series is one of the most competitive, if not the most competitive form of racing in the world. And it's a spectacle. And I think that, you know, exposing people to it is important, and I think should be a very high priority on NASCAR's business development strategy. I mean, we went to Austria like 3 weeks ago to a big Red Bull event, and like Max was there with the F1 car, and the Dakar rally cars were there, and the bikes were there, and people freaked out over the cup car. It sounded different than anything they'd ever heard before. It looked different than anything they'd ever heard before. I'm leaving Tuesday night to go to Goodwood to go. There you go. I'm leaving on Thursday night to go to Goodwood and make a couple runs up the hill in the cup car. So I think it's incredibly important. I also think that in general, street races are something that this sport should commit to wherever it is, whether it's in Chicago or San Diego or wherever it is, because I've always been a fan of finding ways to take the product to the people. If you can take what we do and plop it right in the middle of a city so people can come see it that have never seen a race before, I think that can only be good for the sport. So I've got a soft place in my heart for road racing. It's what I did for 20 years. It's what I love. And this sport's been doing it for a long time. I think these are important initiatives. I know they're expensive. I know NASCAR doesn't really make any money doing it, but there's a bigger picture it's solving for, and that's exposing this sport to more and more people who have not seen it before.
All right. Any final questions for Justin or Steven? All right. Justin, Steven, thank you for spending time
with
us. Congratulations again. You are excused. We will continue now with our race winner, Shane Van Gisbergen. Shane, congratulations on your win, a sweep for the weekend. When you got out of the car, you said, "I love this place." What means so much to you about being here in Chicago?
Yeah, epic weekend for us. I'm a lucky guy. I got to drive for two great teams in JR Motorsports and Trackhouse, and it just made my job easy. You know, we had great preparation, and my cars all weekend were excellent. And then today, you know, the strategy was a bit back and forth. I was probably a bit conservative at the start, and, you know, not aggressive enough. But our pace was good, and then just believing in Steven, he did a great job on painting the picture on strategy again. And, you know, even though we were a little bit out of sync, it was going to work out for the better. And yeah, had some really great battles at the end. The guys at the end were really, really strong, but we probably had a tire advantage. So yeah, cool to win here again. I've had a great run at this place, and I really enjoy it.
All right, we're going to go ahead and open for questions. I know we have several for Shane. We're going to start up front here with Jeff, and then we'll work our way back to Dalton.
You had to go to the care center yesterday when you got overheated. Did you feel 100% today? What was your energy level like?
Yeah, I was good today. This is my third Red Bull of the day. But just yesterday, I cooked. I don't do well in the heat, you know, and then it went wrong yesterday with the cool suit failing and just, you know, it failed from the start. It never got going. And then in stage three, I managed to get the water flowing, but it didn't cool down. So my body temp was just screaming. So, yeah, once I got some aircon and just cooled down and, yeah, like I felt pretty good last night after a lot of fluids. Woke up this morning and just kept drinking as much as I could. And, you know, I'm not perfect, but I was really good in the car. And again, now I'm hot, but I felt really good the whole race.
All right, Dalton, go ahead.
Hey, Shane. Dalton, how was the front stretch in the back over here? You are now, in just 2 years, now the most winningest foreign-born driver in the NASCAR Cup Series. When you hear that, what is your reaction, especially when you take into account all the names from other venues of motorsport that have come here and tried this type of racing?
Yeah, that's a very special stat. You know, that's why I'm here, I guess. You know, Justin took a massive chance on me to bring me over. And as I've said many times, these races are like a holiday to me. You know, it's the road, the ovals where I'm really focused and getting better and better. And I come here and there's no stress. You know, the people probably think there's more stress and expectation on us, but I kind of just get excited by it and love driving. And, you know, it's the ovals where I know I'm getting better and I'm not stressed about it and I'm not forcing it, but I love trying to progress and get better and better. But yeah, to be a foreigner here, there's not many of us who have broken into the sport and stayed here for too long, and pretty cool to be here, that's for sure.
All right, go ahead.
One of the things that we noticed when you spoke on how you were a bit conservative in the beginning and then you had to get in sync with Steven, we noticed what seems to be like a telepathy with your whole team, your whole entire team, everybody with Steven. I want you to speak more to that because we saw how things went in Mexico. We see how things are went in Chicago. And as you're moving forward, let's talk about the telepathy of how y'all work together and the communicative way that you were a little conservative, then you got in sync and it just took off from there.
Yeah, our team has been really cool to be a part of this year, the 88 guys and girls. You know, the start of the year was pretty rough for us, and, you know, we didn't do well at COTA where we thought we would, and it just, you know, we've just been getting better and better, and just the atmosphere of the guys and how focused they are, and on the grid or on the start line there after the race, seeing how much it means to everyone is, that's why we do it, you know, how stoked everyone was, and even having JP back, who hurt himself at Pocono, just such a valuable member of our team, and you know, I know that his body's pretty beat up, and to get in there and no complaints and say he's not hurting, to do what he did on the tires there on the rear end was epic. So yeah, as a team, the 88 team, it's really cool to be a part of it.
All right, we'll come up to Bob, please.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. I don't know if you know, but on the lap before you took the white, Cody Ware was buried in the tires. I don't know if you probably haven't seen a replay or anything, but like if there was another restart, do you feel confident you would have held off Gibbs again?
I think Tyler Reddick was the one I was worried about, right? But yeah, there was a tire carcass on the exit of six, and there was a yellow flag or blue flag they have here. And you know, that's when they didn't put it out for two laps, I figured that they were just doing everything they could to get the race finished before the lightning hold. I feel like there's, you never know what's going to happen here with yellows. And when they left the tire carcass, I thought, okay, they're going to try and finish this race before weather affects it. And yeah, when you're in the lead like that, you're just begging for the white flag to come out and to get to it. And I came out of the last corner and just saw a heap of smoke straight ahead at turn six. And I just held my breath until I crossed the line, really. And yeah, when I got the white flag, I came around the next couple of corners and the yellow come out. So it was a massive relief. And yeah, but you never know if they're going to throw the yellow and try and have an exciting finish, you know.
All right, any final questions? We'll come to Reed and then we'll go right here.
A
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. Even though he fell out later, were you worried about McDowell after he got you on the start?
Yes and no. Like, I wasn't pushing too hard at that stage. His car was really good, but he looked like he was struggling to put it together. And yeah, I kind of had his speed, but when I get close to him, I get hot. So I was kind of just managing and waiting. But I think the guys at the end were a lot faster than him. Like, he was decent, but really the Toyotas and those drivers were really strong at the end, and they were a bit faster than him, I think. So, but it would have been interesting to see how it played out.
All right, go ahead.
Brian Sandalo, Chicago Sun-Times. Two wins here in 3 years. How much has this track, this city, kind of changed your career?
Yeah, I've said that a few times this week. This joint, it's changed my life, you know. I didn't have any plans to do more NASCAR races when I first came over here, and I never thought I'd be in NASCAR full-time. So, yeah, it's pretty special here, some good memories and some good races. I love the track, and it's a cool place to come to, you know. You feel a nice vibe. You feel a good vibe in the mornings walking to the track with the fans, and it's pretty unique like that. And yeah, I enjoy it. I hope it stays next year. But as the guys were saying when I arrived, I'm biased. Obviously, I love street circuits, but if we go to a new place, I'm all for that as well.
All right, we'll go to Gluck right here.
I just want to clarify something you said a couple minutes ago. So on the you're talking about the last lap, you come out of 12, and you're looking all the way down the front stretch, and you see smoke in six, so you're like, oh crap, like that's when you're like, I just got to get to the white right now.
I shat myself when I come around the corner. I saw he mustn't have been long in the fence, and then there's just a whole bunch of smoke, and yeah, you just panic because it's different to the lap before. I think, oh shit, what's happened there? And then yeah, as soon as I got to the line, you know, you're fine. But that 4 seconds to the line, I was in full panic mode trying to get to the line as quick as I could.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just got one more. You know, the last lap is driven under caution. What's going through your mind? What are you looking at as you're absorbing that you've won here again?
Yeah, I tried to not get caught up in it. The spotters started celebrating, and I'm just like, guys, just let's get to the line first, you know? And I just drove around, tried not to make any mistakes, and, you know, because there's safety trucks all over the place and so much debris. So, yeah, I just cruised and then celebrated when we got to the line.
All right, we'll take our final questions over here.
Hi, Victoria Beaver, Road and Track. With next week being a road course again, you have a decent possibility of tying for the most wins on the season. What does that mean as someone who's still developing on ovals to get that done just on the road courses?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, we've had a pretty good year on road courses so far and had glimpses of speed, but I really think we've developed our car as well. There have been some areas that we haven't been good at. We've been lacking a little bit. So, yeah, like our car setup's drastically changed in the last few road courses, and it's been great trying to understand this car and be able to try stuff. And yeah, it's I'm slowly starting to understand it. But there's still some things we can be a lot better at. But yeah, try again next week, and we can just keep trying to be better. And when you're in the position now where you have that you know, that playoff spot, you can take more risk. And it's been enjoyable, you know, figuring this car out and getting outside the box a little bit.
All right, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Evie. I'm a student from Northwestern. How do you think your prior experience with street racing translated into success on this course?
Yeah, it certainly helps. I think the first year was a big gap to the other guys. That's what I grew up doing in racing in Australia. When I moved there, most of the races were street tracks, or half of them at least. But I really feel like a lot of people are really good here at the moment. But thankfully, we've been able to keep getting better, get our cars better, and I've understood the track better. So, yeah, I guess I'm a little more comfortable with the walls on both sides of the car and just being accurate and knowing where to take risk or not. So seems to still be my strength here, I think.
All right, and I think we had one other question. Kendall, right behind you. Thank you.
Congratulations, Shane.
Thanks.
Now with two wins on the season, I think it's safe to say you're locked. When preparation for the round of 16 begin, knowing that there is a road course in the round of 12 leading to the possibility of a round of 8 appearance and potentially a fight for a championship?
Yeah, it's that first round's going to be very difficult. It's got one track I haven't been to, Gateway. It's got my favorite oval in it, Darlington. I love that place. And then Bristol, which is what I've found the most difficult track. Like, I feel like I may as well be driving the other way there. It's so hard. So it's some pretty difficult places for me. But yeah, I feel like we're making still massive leaps on the oval, and there's still a few weeks left to keep getting better. So yeah, just got to keep our heads down and try and keep pushing through.
All right, Shane, congratulations again on the win, and we wish you the best of luck next week in Sonoma.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Shane.